According to the Ramban, means a day of holy assemblage. So the Ramban holds that the chiyuv to daven every day is only midirabbanan. The Ramban holds tefillah b'chol yom is deraisa. You have to daven once a day, every day is minatur. The Gemara says tefillah is midirabbanan means effectively daven three times a day, four times a day, five times a day. On Yom Kippur you say nila, musa, five times a day. That's midirabbanan. But the fact you have to daven once a day, that's really minatur. And the Ramban disagrees, and the Sefer he holds that the tefillah is only midirabbanan. But the Ramban writes that tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos Yontov is deraisa. That's included in Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh means, Mikra means to gather together, a day of holy assemblage. The Jewish people have to gather together to daven tefillah b'tzibur, and the rabbi should give a shir in public, and there should be kriyas hatorah b'tzibur. That's what the Ritva says. The Ritva Megillah says that kriyas hatorah on Shabbos Yontov is a din deraisa. The Ritva follows from basement Rosh and Shal HaRamban. That's where he got it from. The Kriyas HaTorah that we have in Sheni V'Chamishi, that's only a Takana de Rabbanan. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma lists off the end of Perek Merubah. The Gemara lists off all the Esa Takanas of Ezra. So this is one of the Takanas that they should learn Kriyas HaTorah. The problem is that the Gemara also had a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Takana to have Kriyas HaTorah, Sheni V'Chamishi, and Shabbos. So what did he need Ezra? Well, what did Ezra add on over here? So the Gemara is not sure historically. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu started the Takana, and Ezra enhanced it. Either in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was only one Aliyah, and Ezra made it into three. Or maybe in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were three Aliyahs, but each Olah Latorah only said one Pasuk. In the days of Ezra, they enhanced it. They made it into 10 Pasuk. Instead of being only 3 Pasuk, it should be 10. But this, the Gemara says, it's where do you see that there's such a Takana's Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara says there's a pasuk in Chumash that the Jewish people were traveling in the Midbar. There was no water. Then they came to the city Mor, and the water was bitter. It didn't taste good. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to throw a certain branch into the water. And so the pshutush on Mikra is that the water didn't taste good. And they were traveling for 3 days out of the water. But the Gemara says in addition to the pshutush on Mikra, the pshuta is always correct, but in addition to that, there's an additional level of interpretation. That Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana, 3 days shouldn't go by without learning Kriyas HaTorah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Beis Din, they made the takana to learn Sheni V'Chamishi and on Shabbos. 3 days shouldn't go by. Why did he give the Aliyah first to Kohen and the Levi then the Israel? Because the Kohanim and the Leviim, their function is to learn and to teach Torah, to pass Kanshailas. Every Shevet has another function. So Moshe Rabbeinu says in V'zoy Sabroch, Yorim Shepatecha Liyankim Sarozcha Yisrael, the Kohanim and the Leviim are supposed to be the national Kohel of Klal Yisrael. We're supposed to support them. They're not supposed to be farmers. It was never intended. They didn't get a share in Eretz Yisrael. And everybody else who's a farmer is supposed to give them the trumas and the maizrus and the chavtavad matnas kahuna and so on to support them because they're busy learning. The Rama quotes a din from the Sifrei based on psukim and dvarim that it says, ki palmin chadov ala mishpam v'idam v'dam v'din v'din. You don't know what the din is, and it's a machloikas. You come to be alisa, you go to the Bez Nagodol in Yerushalayim, and you have to follow whatever the Kohanim and Levim will tell you. So you see from the pasuk that the members of the Bez Nagadol are supposed to be Kohanim and Levim. You take from members of the Bez Nagadol, you take the most learned people on Klal Yisrael. The Rambam quotes from the Sifrei, if you have a toss-up, you have two candidates, and they're equally acceptable, and one of them is a Kohen or a Levi, so it's preferable to appoint a Kohen or the Levi, because that's supposed to be the role of the Kohanim and Levim, to learn and to paskan all the shots. If the Mamzer knows how to learn better, so you appoint the Mamzer. Mamzer is Talmud Chacham. Okay, but the Kohanim and Levim. So that's why by Kriyas HaTorah, the Kohanim and Levim take the Kedima. They get the first Aliyah and the second Aliyah. The Gemara says, if there's no Kohen, Gemara Gittin says, if there's no Kohen, then it's part of HaChavila. So Rashi has two interpretations on that. The first interpretation is, if there's no Kohen, you're not obligated to give the Levi the first Aliyah. If you want to, you may, but you're not obligated to. And the second pshat in Rashi is you're not permitted to give the Levi the first Aliyah because you're not allowed to give the Levi the same degree of kavod that a Kohen is supposed to get. Kohen is supposed to get first. So you're not going to give a Kohen, not going to give a Levi, so no one's going to get the first Aliyah. No. What, are you going to start from Shlishi? You're going to leave out the first two Aliyah? No. Someone has to get the Aliyah, but it's not that you're giving the Yisrael the Aliyah because he's Jewish like everybody else, but if you're going to give the Levi the first Aliyah, you mechabed the Levi, then you're giving the Levi covered that's only due to the Kohen. So in Shulchan Aruch, they don't paskin like that opinion. But Rabbi Soloveitchik always, every so often, when they would learn Kriyas HaTorah in the yeshiva, there was no Kohen, so he would always, so they would want to call him. He was a Levi. So he said, no, Rashi says you're not allowed to call a Levi. So the boys would always say, but in the Mishnah Berurah it says, you shouldn't call a Levi, call the biggest Talmid Chacham. So the Rebbe was the biggest Talmid Chacham. He said, but for educational purposes, he didn't want to take the first Aliyah. They should know that Rashi's second pshat is that you're not supposed to call the Levi. This din that you give the coin the first Aliyah and the Levi the second Aliyah, so can the coin be Moichel on his covered? So the Mishnah says, the Gemara interprets the Mishnah in Gittin, that min HaTorah the coin can be Moichel on his covered, but min the Rabbanah they made a takana that on Shabbos and Yom Tov it's not right, you shouldn't be Moichel on his covered. And Sheni v'chamishi on the weekdays it's okay because the shul is not so crowded, so if he's Moichel on his covered it's fine. On Shabbos Yom Tov, there's going to be a lot of people in shul. It's always a big crowd, so it may cause a big kilkul, may cause a machlokes. One Shabbos will be machal on his covered because there's a bar mitzvah, and they need all the aliyahs. They need as many as aliyahs they can get. Then the next week there's going to be an oifru for another bar mitzvah. It won't be machal on his covered, so there's going to be friction. How come last week it was machal, this week is not machal? So that's why the Meir Takana on Shabbos Yom Tov, the kohenim should never be machal on their covered. But on the weekdays, it's okay because the shul is not so crowded anyway, so it's not going to cause any friction. Tosfos lived at the time of the Crusades, and they lived in little villages, and the villages were really tiny. Sometimes there wasn't even a minyan. Sometimes there was barely a minyan. Tosfos in Erevin talks, there's a whole city that has a wall around it, and there's only one Jewish family in the whole city. So Tosfos says, you're allowed to carry in the whole city because there's a wall. You don't have to rent from the goyim because it's only one Jewish family. The whole din you have to rent for the goyim is only if there are two Jewish families. So they had such small villages. The Crusaders killed everybody. The Crusaders killed a lot of people, but there were hardly any Jews at that time. The families were very small at that time. There were a lot of sicknesses. People were dying. So Tosfos writes that Bizman HaZen, the days of the Baalei HaTosfos, the whole community was a tiny community, so there are just as many people in the shul on Sheni v'Chamishi as on Shabbos. The 12 men who lived in the city were there Monday and Thursday and on Shabbos. So Tosfos says that Bizman HaZen, the days of the Baalei HaTosfos, the Kohen should not be allowed to be Moichel even on the weekdays. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes that Bizman HaZeh, we have gone back to the practice in the days of the Gemara, that the shuls are clearly more crowded on Shabbos and Yom Tov than they are on the weekdays. So he says, Memela, it goes back to the din in the days of the Gemara. So even though in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Tosfos that the Kohanim should not be allowed to be Moichel, even on Sheni v'Chamishi, but Bizman HaZeh, it's like it was in the days of the Gemara, that that on the weekdays they can't be Moichel on the Kohen. Some had, Ramotcha Benet was a big chief rabbi in Hungary, at the time of the Chassam Sofer, he was older. So he had a takana. You shouldn't allow the kohen to be moichel on the kovid unless there's no levi. Then the kohen is going to hog two aliyahs. He gets two aliyahs, and then the rest of the shul only gets an opportunity to get shlishi. There's only one kohen. He gets first two aliyahs on Monday, on Thursday, on Shabbos. So then, if there's no levi, then it's okay to be moichel on his kovid. But otherwise, not really right. Rabbi Soloveitchik was very opposed. By the Hasidim, it's a common practice. They'll call up someone to the first Aliyah and Sheni v'Chamishi, and they'll announce b'mechilas hakohen. They didn't even consult him. B'mechilas hakohen. The kohen is moichel on his kovid. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset about that because in America, many Jews didn't even know if they were kohen levi Yisrael. People are getting married. You have to fill out a ksuba. They're getting divorced. Yes, can kohen levi Yisrael? They don't know what you're talking about. They don't know what it is. So he insisted in his school, the Maimonides, that when the children hand in test papers, homework, they have to write Ploni HaKoyen Chesa. They have to write HaKoyen HaLevi. So you should ingrain it in their minds that they know that whoever is a Kohen or a Levi, they should remember that Kohanim or Levim.
Today some of the shuls on weekdays are marked. I mean, you go there minion after minion with 50, 60, 70. Uh-huh. So Would Rebbe say that you should?
Should go back to what Taisa says.
Yeah,
then.
I mean,
yeah.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, probably. It would depend on the situation, probably correct. We learned that Taisus in the beginning of Brachas and the first paragraph of Brachas where Absalovechik interpreted Pshat and Taisus, that would appear perhaps that when they learn Kriyas HaTorah, if the people are not facing the Aron Kodesh, people are not facing the Sefer Torah, maybe you're not Yotze. A lot of times in the Shul, the Shulchan is in the middle where they learn Kriyas HaTorah, and then there are people that sit in between the Shulchan and the Aron Kodesh, and they have their face to the Aron Kodesh, they have their back to the Shulchan. So that's Bechlal Adin, you're not allowed to have your back to a Sefer Torah. How does the rabbi get up in shul and speak? How does the Bar Mitzvah Bocha get up in shul and speak? He has his back to the Sefer Torah. So the Taz in the third Chelet Yeridea in Hilchot Sefer Torah raises that question. And he answers, the Aron Kodesh is really a Rishus Bifnei Atzma, because it's 10 Tfachim tall. The cavity inside the Aron Kodesh, the empty air, is 10 Tfachim tall and Dalar al Dalar Tfachim wide. So that's like a cheder b'fnei atzmo. So the Sefer Torah is in a different rishus. So the din that you're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah doesn't apply. You're allowed to sit down because the Sefer Torah is in a different rishus. It doesn't pose a problem. So the Prima Gadim is not sure whether you have the Sefer Torah on the Shulchan, and the Shulchan is 10 tefachim tall. So if the Shulchan would have four walls, here it only has two walls. On the right and on the left, it doesn't have in the front. Or does have. Does have. Is it 10 tefachim tall? No, it's not. 10 tefachim tall would be a little below my waist. It's not 10 tefachim tall. So the Prima Gadim is not sure. If you have a shulchan that 10 tefachim tall and you have four walls, so that's a taka, a separate rishus b'fnei atzma. So then there's no isa to have your back to the Sefer Torah. But very often the shulchan does not have walls. Very often the shulchan is 10 tefachim tall, but it doesn't have walls. On all four sides, downstairs I think it does, the new one does. A lot of times it doesn't. So the Prima Gadim is not sure. Maybe, since it's 10 tefachim tall, maybe it's mutter to turn your back to the Sefer Torah. But Rav Soloveitchik said, even if it's mutter to, but Asvara from Taisvis in the first paragraph of Brachos, that you're not Yotze Kriyas HaTorah. Why Mehecha Taisa? So in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, which doesn't really exist as a separate book in Kisvei HaKodesh, in the Christian Bible, Ezra and Nehemiah are two books. And Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, and Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis, Devarayam Malachim Beis are two books. In the Jewish Tanakh, Ezra and Nehemiah is one book. And the Gemara gives the whole reason why Nehemiah's Sefer is not named after him. From the beginning to the end, it's really Sefer Ezra. And Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis is one Sefer, and Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis is the same Sefer. Devarayam is only one Sefer. The Christian Bible that took over, and all the Marmakimas and the Torah Or and all the Gemaras, all the Marmakimas are to the way the Christians divided all the chapters and so on. There is a tradition of how to divide the chapters in the Tanakh, but it's not the way it's printed in the Christian Bible. It's not the way it's printed in all the Chumashim. That's a tragedy. Okay.
Even though the Bima is 10 fucking high, but the Sefer Torah is exposed.
Is,
that doesn't mean anything?
If the Bima is 10 Tvachim high, could be that we consider that a Rishus Bifnei Atzma.
Even though the Sefer's on top and it's goli, everybody
sees
it.
Not sure. Tak, it says in the Zohar, that the Kriyas HaTorah should be from an elevated platform like Maimon HaSinai. The Torah was given from on top of the mountain. So the whole shul is for davening, and the bima in the middle where you learn Kriyas HaTorah, that's like the top of HaSinai. Unless it's a yeshiva or a Beis HaMedrash, then the whole Beis HaMedrash is the top of the mountain. The whole Beis HaMedrash is for the purpose of learning Torah. So all of us are on top of the mountain, not just with a location where they're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah. You don't need an elevated bima in a yeshiva. You just need it in a Beis HaKnesses. You need like a yeshiva, you don't. So in Sefer Nehemiah, chapter Ches, the end of Ezra, so it describes there, Ezra was a kohen who got the first aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. They opened up the Holy Temple. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, it says. That year there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Mimos Ezra v'Elach, it never happened. From the days of Ezra till the days of the Gemara, it never happened, that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The month of Elul always was 29 days. Always Chasa was never Moli, but in the days of Ezra, So it says, you got an aliyah, and it says, Baruch Hashem, Hashem, Baruch. Exactly the same way we do Kriya Satara today. That's how they did. We follow what it says there in the Nehemiah chapter Ches. And it says, everybody was facing the Sefer Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, maybe that's the mocker for this idea that Tosfos says there in Brochas, in the beginning of Brochas, that if you're not facing the Sefer Torah, swear that you're not Yotzei Kriya Satara. There was a big machlokes in Europe where the Rav Soloveitchik had two grandfathers. He, most of the time is spent by his mother's father, Rav Elia Feinstein. That was an uncle of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Soloveitchik's mother, Rav Moshe Feinstein, were first cousins. Her maiden name was Feinstein. So Rav Elia Feinstein was of the opinion that Kriya Satara is a chovas hatzibur. If a person davens at home, he's not mechuyev to go to shul to hear Kriya Satara. Sometimes Rabbi Soloveitchik would be traveling. Every so often he would come. He used to come to the yeshiva on Tuesday morning, give a shiur Tuesday and Wednesday. But sometimes Tuesday would be Rosh Chodesh, or sometimes he would come in on Monday or Thursday. So he would miss Kriya Satara, because he was in a train station. So he followed his father's father, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, was of the opinion Kriya Satara is a chovas hayochid. And the Rabbi Elia Feinstein argued with the Zeder Reb Chaim, and he held that Kriya Satara is a chovas hatzibur. As long as the tzibur took care of Kriya Satara, yechidim anat mechuyev. Reb Chaim every so often would go to a rabbinical conference in Poland. They would attend the conferences, and then he would also, he was traveling by train, so he'd miss Kriya Satara sometime Monday or Thursday morning. So whenever he would arrive in a community in the afternoon, he would ask around, are there 10 people who missed Kriya Satara today? And he would put together a minyan to lay in Kriya Satara Monday and Thursday. Most of the Achrenim hold that if you didn't lay in the morning, you can lay in the afternoon. Kriya Satara Sheni V'Chamish, it does not necessarily have to be Bizman Shachris. Shabbos, that's questionable. It could be that on Shabbos, there were two takonas. There's one takona to lay in Kriya Satara in the morning, then a separate takona to lay in Kriya Satara in the afternoon, next week's Sedra. So it could be that on Shabbos, if you didn't lay in the Parsha in the morning, before Chatzos, in the Zman of Shachris, could be that you cannot lay in the afternoon. That's questionable. Rav Soloveitchik not so convinced that on Shabbos he can do. But on Sheni V'Chamishi, most of the poskim say you can do like that. So every so often, Rav Soloveitchik would ask after class. He had missed Kriya Satara because he was traveling in the morning. He would ask by a show of hands how many boys missed Kriya Satara this morning. So there would always be a minion of boys who missed Kriya Satara, miraculously. And then they would daven mincha, so they would do like a tiny sea, but they would say, Ashrei den Chatzi Kaddish, take out a Sefer Torah and give three aliyahs, then put it back, and then say the Shmona Esrei, and then have the Chazaras Hashatz. The students who were passing by in the hallway in the old building, they thought it was a new chumrah to learn Kriya Satara Monday and Thursday in the afternoon. It wasn't a new chumrah, he missed Kriya Satara in the morning. So he followed the Rav HaPaskim. Rav Chaim used to do like that. Rav Chaim a lot of times would go to a village and he would learn Kriya Satara in the afternoon. We have an institution of a Balkoire. Bizman HaGemar, there was no Balkoire. Bizman HaGemar, whoever got the Aliyah had to say, had to name the Psukim. The institution of a Balkoire began in the days of the Gaonim. Tosfos quotes it in Megillah and other Mesichtas. And the rationale, why did they institute a Kedesha? Lo Levayesh, it's Mishen Yadeh. You're going to give different people Aliyah, so some of them will know how to lay, some of them are going to kill the whole Kriya Satara. So for those who don't know how to lay, we're going to have a Balkari to lay for them. So they're going to be humiliated. The first two Aliyahs, they knew how to lay on their own. The first two Olam LaTorah lay on their own. And the third guy, the fourth guy, has to have someone lay for him. So that's embarrassing. So the Mishnah Bikurim has like that. And when the farmers came to the Beis HaMikdash and they brought their Bikurim, so they had to recite the Arami Avid Avi. So what are you going to do? You're going to get... Do you know Arami Avid Avi by heart? I know the first pasuk by heart. Pierce the first pasuk, I don't think I remember. So the Gemara said they used to have a chart which had Arami Avid Avi, but you're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Sholem. So this is only a few psukim Arami Avid Avi. So they didn't write it all. They wrote it in Rosh Tevis. Aleph, 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 Vav Men. Arami Avid Avi by Yerid Mitzrayim. So that's not bad. They figured out that Rosh Tevis. What about the next line? You can figure out the whole Rosh Tevis. So some of the people, the farmers, talking about farmers, not talking about rabbis, not talking about the Balkari. So some of the farmers can figure out the Rosh Tevis and some couldn't. So they're all standing on line at Beis HaMikdash, they bring the Bikurim, first couple of farmers rattled off Arami Avodah, then the next guy doesn't know what he's supposed to do over here. So somebody has to say it for him. So the Mishnah says, Nimnu'u Milohavi. They stopped bringing the Bikurim. I should travel 8 hours to come to the Beis HaMikdash in order to be humiliated in public, that the first 10 people rattle off, they can figure out the Rosh HaTevis and I don't know what it's all about. So they stopped bringing the Bikurim. They didn't want to be embarrassed. So they made a takana that they'd never allow anyone to say their own Arami Avodavi. You're makrin esakol. You have someone say for everyone, no one should say on their own. So that's what it says by the Kriya Sator. We have a Balkore. We never let anyone say his own Aviyah. Even if he's a Balkore, he knows how to lay. We don't let him say his own Aviyah. Rav Soloveitchik said it's not right when you have a Bar Mitzvah. So they teach the Bar Mitzvah boy how to lay in his own Aviyah. He said that's Keneged HaTakana. Kedesha Lo Levayish Esmi Sheni Dei. You don't do that. And then he said, and even if the Bar Mitzvah boy is going to lay in the whole Sedra, he thought that that's also against the Minig. The Minig is that Balkari only gets the Aliyah of the Teuchet. That's how he understood the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. We don't give the Teuchet to someone else because then it looks as if the Balkari is cursing him. Gat Kerach Hashem B'Shachasa B'Shachefes B'Kadachas B'Kharchur. Sounds like he's cursing the Elulator. So the Minig is that the Balkari gets the Aliyah of the Teuchet himself. You don't give it to someone else. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the minig is, others say it's not true. And not on all the shuls, every so often they do give the Balkari his own aliyah, not just the Teuchet. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not right. He thought that you only give the Balkari the Teuchet. In fact, many European Rabbanim, Rav Soloveitchik concluded, used to have this minig by a chasana under the chuppah. So the chasan who knows, rattles on Kadesh and the Yisrael, and he gives the girl the ring. And if the chassan doesn't know, so the rabbi says, say after me, Hari Amu Kodeshes, and Shayim. So because of the consideration, Kadesh Lo Levayeshes, Mishayin Yodeya, so they have, many European rabbanim used to do like that. I think now they all passed away, nobody does anymore like that. They would say word for word to the chassan, even if the chassan was a learned person, they would say, Harei, Harei, At, Mekodeshes, Mekodeshes. Then they didn't want that it should sound as if the rabbi is marrying the girl. So he would say li. So a lot of times the chassan would say li. They didn't understand what was going on. Yeah. The last aliyah in the Chumash Dvarim is Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. The eighth pasuk before the end starts of Vayom Moshe Moshe Eber Hashem Moshe Abenu passed away. So the Gemara says Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah have a special status of Kriyas HaTorah, Yochid Kari Yosem. What does that mean? What does it mean, Yochid Kari Yosem? So the Gemara says, why should it have a special status? So there's a Machlekes HaTanayim. And towards the end of the first parak in Bava Basra, who wrote the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote about his own obituary. And the Rebbe Shalom buried him. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that he buried him. So one opinion is that it was Machlekes HaTanayim. One opinion in Tanayim is that it was written by Yeshua Ben Nun. That Moshe Rabbeinu wrote up until then, and then in Sefer Yeshua it says that Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. So the one Tana says he wrote the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. So the Gemara says if you hold like that Tana, then we understand why Yochid Kari Yosem has a special din, because it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you hold like the other Tana, that's what we usually assume like the other Tana, that even the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So why should it have a separate din? Why should it have a special din? Moshe says, nonetheless, it didn't become true till after Moshe Rabbeinu died. At the time that he wrote it, it wasn't true yet. So it wasn't this Kaddish till after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, it has a separate din. So what is the special din of the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah? The Gemara says, the din is at Yochid Kari Yosem. What does that mean? So the Rambam says, you don't need a minyan. You only need a minyan for all other Kriyas HaTorah. The last Aliyah that has the obituary Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't need a minyan. Yeah, we understand. It's a davisha. Why do you need a minyan? Because Kriyas HaTorah is a davisha b'kedusha. Whatever is written by Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim, so that's davisha b'kedusha. If it was written by Yeshua ben Nun, so it's not a davisha b'kedusha. So you don't need a minyan. Okay, according to the Rambam, we understand a little bit. Others say Yochid Kari Yosem means we usually have the Balkari laning, and the Olal HaTorah says along softly. And the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, the Olal HaTorah should lane. Tosis said this is a very difficult interpretation. That's what it means in the Gemara. Yochid Kari Yosem. this institution of a Balkari laning and the Oil of Atar is saying along, this is didn't exist in the days of the Tanaim. It was instituted in the days of the Gaonim, that you have a Balkari who lanes for everybody. So they reject that pshat. They don't think that's correct. Then there's another pshat, you shouldn't be mafsik in the middle. The same person, you're shmona psukim, there are 8 psukim. So if you want to make a sofis, you can divide it into 2. One aliyah can get 4 psukim, one can get 4 psukim. That's what it says, yachid kariyosam. It's one unit, you should read the obituary, the whole story together. You shouldn't have one person laying 4 psukim and one person laying the other 4 psukim. So we paskin like that also. But then the Rambam quotes the other pshat, yachid kariyosam, a pshat from the Mordechai. Yachid means the yachid hamayuchad. It's hakebis echad, taseva boiker, goes on the korban tomid that they bring every day. The Mordechai says, hakebis ha'echad, hamayuchad. That when you bring a korban, it should be miyuchad shebehedra, it should be a mufchor. Shouldn't bring stam a sloppy looking behemoth, should be a mufchor. So Shmar Pesukim Shabbat Torah, you should give the aliyah to the rabbi, to the most learned Talmud Chacham, because it says there, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and Yeshua ben Nun took over, and the Jewish people followed what he said. So we give the aliyah to the rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away a few thousand years ago, the rabbi in our shul is the Memale Mokam of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the idea behind it. Yochai Kurios, and we give the aliyah to the rabbi of Yeshua, that to imply that just like they followed Yeshua ben Nun, we're going to follow the rabbi in our shul. Shulchan Aruch quotes this idea from the Rosh, that when the Balkari is laning, the Oil of Latar should say along softly with the Balkari. So it's not really understood well. Why? What is he gained by saying over softly? If he's not saying out loud, so the Tziba doesn't hear from the Oil of Latar, they just hear from the Balkari. So what does he gain by saying it at all? Everyone's Yotze, they all listen to the Balkari. So the Oil of Latar is also listening to the Balkari. So it's not really too well understood. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. L'chatchila should say along. Mikra din, we really paskin, even a blind person who can't see the Sefer Torah at all can also get an aliyah, even though he clearly can't read along. But l'chatchila, we're machmer like the Rosh, that the Oil of the Torah should say along. So the Mishnah Berurah says, on Parsha Zohar, once a year, Parsha Zohar, and Tosfos and many Rishonim think that Parsha Zohar is a din d'oraisa, you should be mahadir to give the aliyah dafka to a person who'll be able to lane along with the Balkari. You shouldn't give a summa. You shouldn't give an am ha'aretz, the parshas zohar, because the roshot, you have to be able to lane along. In some of the rabbis' contracts in Europe, they used to write in the contract and the rabbi gets parshas zohar. That's part of his salary. He gets the aliyah parshas zohar because that's a kriyas ha'tor d'oraisa. He gets chazak. A lot of times they give the rabbi chazak. Okay.
Does the person named Aliyah, should he say it like in a loud voice, or should he say it more like an audible voice, or is it okay if he whispers?
He should whisper loud enough that he should be able to hear, but if he's going to say it out loud, he's going to confuse the whole tzibur, because they're going to hear from the Balkari and from him, so that's not right. So the Shulchan Aruch, there's two opinions whether it should be Mashmir Liyoznov or not even that. So we assume, as a chumra, he should lane so loud that he should be able to hear, which is going to throw off the Balkari a little bit, but it shouldn't be so loud to throw off the whole tziba. Rav Soloveitchik didn't know how to whisper. So when he got an aliyah, he was always laning out loud. So it confused the Balakri and it confused the tziba also. In Nehemiah, where it says that Ezra got the first aliyah in Rosh Hashanah, and the Beis HaMikdash, they open up the Bai Sheni, they open up the Holy Temple for the high holidays. So it says, Ukipischoi, when they open up the Sefer Torah, Omdu Kol HaOm. So the Gemara says, Ein Amida Elo Shtika. It doesn't mean that everybody stood up. Mikra Din, you don't have to stand up, that's only a Chumra. The Rishonim quote, the Maharam Rutenberg had that practice. He would stand up during the whole Kriyas HaTorah, but he wouldn't make the Balabatim stand up in his shul. It was his personal Midas Chassidus to stand up for Kriyas HaTorah. There is a Gemara in the end of Perek Merubah where the Gemara tells a story that there was a Talmid Chacham there and one of his Talmidim was there in the same area, and the Rebbe was not knowing a certain Chumrah. The Talmid observed the Chumrah in the presence of his Rebbe, so the Gemara said we should really put him in Chayrim because that's a chutzpah. The Talmid observes a Chumrah that in the presence of his Rebbe that the Rebbe doesn't observe, but because this Talmud was known as a big tzaddik, so they didn't put him in Chayrim. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, based on that Gemara, He said, if you come to a shul and the local rabbi in the shul is not standing for Kriyas HaTorah, then it's not right that that other people should stand. Unless over here, Rabbi Breuer was 98 years old when he passed away, so of course he wasn't standing. So, but when he was young and healthy, he used to stand. Rabbi Schwab also. The last years of his life, he had trouble with his legs, but when he was healthy, he would stand for Kriyas HaTorah. So if the rabbi in the shul is not standing because physically he's not up to it, but in principle he would also stand, so then it's permissible for the Balabatam to stand. But if the rabbi is young and healthy and he doesn't stand, then it's not right for some of the Balabatam to stand. You're not allowed to show a chumra in the presence of the rabbi.
The reason why you read along is because there's no shomer ka'omer.
It's not understood. Why does the Oyla Latar have to read along? The Balkari is moitzi everybody. The Balkari lane, so just like everybody else he is, so the Oyla Latar is also listening to the Balkari. So what does he need? What does he need to say along? It's very unclear. The Rosh doesn't explain why. He just insists everyone should lay along. So Mikra then we don't pass like that, because in Shulchan Aruch says they quote the Chuvis Binyamin Zev. The Ramah quotes it. It's in the days of the Ramah. The Chuvis Binyamin Zev says you can give an aliyah to a blind person. He clearly can't lay along. Lachatchila, if he's able to, so we're machman that the Oyla Latar should lay along, but it's not Miyakiv. So the Gemara says, Ukepischa Amdu Kol Ha'am, when they open up the Sefer Torah, Amdu Kol Ha'am does mean they all stood. Even the Ma'am Rutmark who stood, that was a personal Midas Chassid, it wasn't Mi'ikar Adin at all. Amdu Kol Ha'am means Shtika. Once they open up the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to talk. Kibish and Iptach Sefer Torah, also the Sapra Afila B'divrei Torah. Even if you're talking and learning, it's not permissible. So how do you say Mishaberach in the middle? Mishaberach is talking in the middle. So the Achranim say, when you say the Mishaberach, you should cover over the Sefer Torah. You should close the Sefer Torah, roll it closed, and you should put the mentala on top, you should cover it, so it's not Ukepischei Amdu Kol Ha'am. When they open, the Sefer Torah is open, then you're not allowed to talk. If you close the Sefer Torah and you cover it over with the cloth covering, with the mentala, then you're allowed to talk. But then as soon as they uncover it, then you should stop talking again. That's an issue.
Does
the
same thing about not being
mocked
in front of the rabbi
apply to one's
father?
I don't know about that. A lot of times the children are a little more observant than their parents. I don't know. By the Rebbe, the Gemara says improper. Sometimes the father is a Talmud of the son. Maram Rutenberg, when he became world famous, so his father used to stand up for him. So he felt so uncomfortable because the Gemara says Shaila. So after he became famous and his father started standing up for him, he never was in the same place with his father. Because he didn't want his father to stand up for him. Very strange. He would never be together with his father in the same place because his father was going to stand up for him. Yet, the Kesem Mishnah quotes a Chuvas HaRashba, who points out that there seems to be a contradiction between two passages in the Rambam in the Tshuva, and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam in the Tshuva says that the minig b'chol orei svarad, all over Spain, is that you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a Apostle of Sefer Torah. You don't need that, it should be kosher. During the Second World War, the Jewish Welfare Board, JWB, in America, was in charge of all the chaplains in the American army. So they put out a little pamphlet with psalkim, halacha l'maisa. So one of the psalkim is, you can learn Kriyas HaTorah with all the brachas and a printed chumash, because the Rambam says so. It's true, the Rambam says so in the Tshuvas. But the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says not so. The Rambam Mishnah Torah says, you need a kosher Sefer Torah. So the Kesem Mishnah quotes the Rashba, points out this contradiction. So the Kesem Mishnah, the Rashba answers, the Rambam obviously changed his mind. Originally, he thought you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. He said that's the minig anofut, the widespread minig all over in Spain. They lain from a apostle of Sefer Torah. You can lain from a pintet chumash. And then the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah changed his mind. It has to be a kosher Sefer Torah. Lamaisa, we rely on the Rambam in the Tshuva B'dieved. Let's say they lain in Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of Chamishi, middle of Revi Chamishi, find that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So do you require you should go back and lain everything all over again? So Rabbi Yosef Kara has an Ilchus Kriyas HaTorah. He quotes from his Rebbe, Ari Bei Rav, I think, that he paskin based on the Tshuva HaRambam. B'dieved, we rely on the Tshuva HaRambam. So B'dieved, we don't lain over. whatever we learn from the pasul of Sefer Torah, we end the aliyah as soon as you can, and then you don't learn that over. The Mishnah Berurah throws in a chumrah if you can squeeze in seven aliyahs from there to the end. Let's say they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the middle of Chamishim. So how many psukim do you have to the end? So if you can squeeze in seven aliyahs, you should do that. Once here in the neighborhood it happened. It was Shabbos Parashas Hazinu. And they found the mistake in the Sefer Torah. So the rabbi in the shul jumped up. Oh, the Mishnah Berurah said they're trying to make seven aliyahs from there to the end. So they did. And then everybody came back from Mincha in the afternoon. So the rabbi announced, I made a mistake this morning. That chumrah from the Mishnah Berurah that you make seven aliyahs, that's in any other sedra other than Hazinu. And Hazinu, there's a Beferish Gemara that you have to, Hazinu is a poem. And if you read a poem, you stop in the wrong place, you kill the whole meaning of the poem. Got English poems like that. So Hazinu is a Shira, and you have to read it as a poem. So if you're going to stop in the wrong place, you kill the whole thing. So the Gemara says you have to learn Hazinu, Haziblach. I remember I was once in London on Shabbos Hazinu, and the rabbi in the shul didn't have smicha. He was a minister. That some of the rabbis, most of the rabbis were ministers, and some of them had smicha. This one did not have smicha. So there was a bar mitzvah of a kohen. So the boy and the father and the grandfather, everybody wanted an aliyah. They were all kohanim. So you can only give three kohanim aliyahs if you make kohosophis. So they made kohosophis all over the place in the middle of Hazinu. So the rabbi in the shul, he wasn't a learned person. He didn't know anything. I was eating by the dayan. So the dayan used to alternate. They would daven every Shabbos in a different shul. The dayan would be in charge of all the shuls. So I walked home with the dayan. I was asking about this. How do you allow hoistophis in the middle of Hazinu? He never heard of it. He knew all the dinim and Noshim and Zikin, but this is in Arachayim. He wasn't so strong in Arachayim, so he never heard of that thing. But that's a din in the Shulchan Aruch, a din in the Gemara. Not allowed to make hoistophis in the middle of Hazinu. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested if the Balabatim won't kill you, you should try to encourage them. They should start from the point that they found the mistake. You end that aliyah, you take out a new Sefer Torah. You should try to learn from the beginning to the end. Make seven aliyahs from the beginning to learn everything over again. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't recommend that. And Mishnah Berurah just says you should try to make seven aliyahs from here to the end. That also wouldn't go over so well by many people. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, they quote that he sat in jail for a couple of weeks before 1948, when Eretz Yisrael was under the British. So there was one Jewish person who opened up his shop in Bnei Brak on Shabbos. So they had a whole demonstration. The Chazon Ish was participating in the demonstration for Shmir Shabbos. So the British put him in jail for disturbing the peace. So he missed Kriyas HaTorah three Shabbos in a row. And then when he was released, so he asked people, would they be nice enough to do him a favor that they should learn all the four sedras? That Shabbos was one said, they should learn all the four sedras. So they loved the Chazon Ish very much. He said, anything he wants, I'll be happy to do. But the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't do that. That's a tichah de tzibur. You only learn two sedras. If, let's say, and they tell the Oros HaRuah tells the following story. During the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the Crusaders came to town on Shabbos. So the Balabatim finished davening Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris. Then they heard noise in the street, and they realized the Crusaders came to town. They were going to kill everybody. So everybody ran away. They locked the shul. Everybody ran away to their own home. They locked the doors. They went to the basement. Everybody was hiding out until Sunday, Monday, until everything blew over, and the Crusaders left. And then the next Shabbos, they felt they missed Kriyas HaTorah their Shabbos, so they made up by learning Mechubar. Sometimes we learn by Mechubar Kaisai, we learn Tazriya Metzora together. So let's say they missed Bamidbar. So you learn Bamidbar Nasa, you learn it together, as if it would be Mechubar. So the Magen Avraham gives the Klolim there. He says, you never learn three Sedras. You only learn two, you never learn three. And let's say they missed Mechubar Kaisai, and then next week is Bamidbar. So you don't join together from one Chumash to the other. Mechubar Kaisai is in Vayikra, and then there's an empty space, four lines. And then you have Bamidbar. You don't make Mechubarim if it's two different Sedras. So those are the rules in the Shulchan Aruch. The Chazon Ish felt it's Mishum Ticha de Tzibur, so if the people agree. So there's no issue of Ticha de Tzibur. There's a special sefer on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah by Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius. He was a very successful businessman. He lived in Broad. the rabbi in Brod at that time was the author of the Sefer Lei Bar Yechulin, not as famous as the Baal HaBos. The Baal HaBos became more famous than the rabbi. So Baal HaBos, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Gaz, wrote Shadus Teshuvas Beis Ephraim. They sent him Shadus from all over. And he wrote a special Sefer on Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. He says, when they find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, the rabbi has to know on the spot what to do. He can't say, I'm going to go look it up. So he's writing a Sefer especially for that. But he has all the dinim of everything in Kriyas HaTorah. And now they have editions which have footnotes on the bottom. I have a likut of all of the tshuva svarim. They're beautiful editions of the Shari Ephraim. He wrote also the Mate Ephraim, Hilchos Vashoni Yom Kippur, that everything in the Mishnah Berurah is based on the Mate Ephraim. So he suggests, every so often you have this in New York. There's a snowstorm on Shabbos and it's so much snow, no one goes to shul. Everybody does go to shul, but they lay in mechubar. Should you make up tashlumin? So the Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis has a suggestion that the only time you have to make mechubarim is they were davening shachris in shul, but then they heard noise outside. They realized that the Crusaders came to town. So since there was a tzibur davening shachris and then when it's chayv will be kriyas ha-Torah, so therefore they have to make tashlum. But if it was a snowstorm, no one went to shul, there was no chayv in the first place, because chayv kriyas ha-Torah, he assumes is a chayv ha-tzibur, not a chayv ha-yochid. So since it went even in Schaibah, so they don't have to make Tashlumin. Here, I think the common practice is whenever there's a big snowstorm, no one goes to shul, every 15 years it happens, so the next Shabbos they will lay. They will lay the two Seders together. Not like the Shari Ephraim writes. There is an issue if we follow the Rambam L'chatchila, that we don't lay in Kriyas HaTorah with a bracha if it's a puzzle or Sefer Torah. So how can you ever say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? We're not sure what the correct spelling of Pitzua Daka is, whether Dalet Chof Aleph or Dalet Chof Hey. Half of the Sefer Torah have a Hey, half of the Sefer Torah have an Aleph. So there's a 50-50 chance that your Sefer Torah is puzzle. So how does anybody ever say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? So this is a major problem that Achreinim deal with. So the Minchas Chinuch answer has been accepted. Minchas Chinuch died about 100 years ago. So the Minhas Chinuch's answer is the accepted answer, that the word Daka has two correct ways to spell it. In Hebrew, you spell it Dal Chafei, in Aramaic, you spell it Dal Chafam. So either way is a correct spelling according to the dictionary. But according to the Masorah, it's supposed to be spelled either one way or the other. So we're not sure, according to Masorah, which is the correct spelling, but according to the dictionary, either is good. So that's not called it, but L'chatchila should correct it. It should correspond to what the Masorah is supposed to be, but that's not... That doesn't possibly yet. But let's say they'll have Parshas Noach. So Noach is written with seven mistakes. It has a final nun in the beginning, then it has a vav and a yud, noi, ach, then it has an aleph, then it has a small chaf. Totally wrong. All the letters are mamish wrong. Bereshis has a samach instead of a tav. Mamish, a mistake in spelling. So that's a pasul of Sefer Torah. So you can't blame from a pasul of Sefer Torah. But if it's a kosher Sefer Torah, the only thing is the letters are spelled correctly according to the dictionary spelling. But according to the Masorah, it should have been spelled the other way. So the Minchas Chinuch says, maybe that's the answer. That doesn't pass. So the Achronim quote this from the Minchas Chinuch. They accept his suggestion. Then they raise a question. The word Na'ara appears very often in Chumash, and it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh. Oh, and then the Minchas Chinuch says, but if it's a Kri Yuxiv, let's say it says Yishgaleno, and the Kri is Yishkaveno. So if it's a Kri Yuxiv, or Ashaloch Homo, so it's written Ashalo Lamed Aleph, and the Kri is Ashalo Chomo Lamed Vav. So if it's a Kri Yuxiv, then it has to be written according to what the Ksiv is. That's Halacha Moshe Messina. So the later Achreinim Amisupik, if you have the word Na'ara spelled Nun Ayin Resh, and you pronounce it Na'ara, is that a Kri Yuxiv? And if you spelled it correctly, Nun Ayin Resh Hey, is that a Kri Yuxiv? So if you spelled Nun Ayin Resh Hey, it'll be Pasul, because he's supposed to write according to the Ksiv, not according to the Kri. But he's saying, no, it's not a Kri Ksiv. There are two correct ways to spell the word Na'ara in Biblical Hebrew. Nun Ayin Resh Hey and Nun Ayin Resh. And over here the Masorah says you should spell it Nun Ayin Resh. But then Minhas Chinuch will say that will be Kosher B'Riyev. So that's a suffix that the later Achreinim have. There's a lot more to Ilchas Kriyas HaTorah, but we usually only give the Shia for 45 minutes. Okay. Moral of the story, we have to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Good. Tomorrow I'm going to do Parshas HaShavua. Parshas Barbachukas.